Continue learning about a chodesh also. Once talking about marriage, let me talk about a quick topic about getting married in chodesh Elul. Now, by Hasidim, Litvaks never heard of this thing. Litvaks, you get married, you find it. You go to the caterer. When is the date for the hall? You don't think about it. What? Litvaks don't get married. What? Let's go talk in general. In general, when a chas and kala get engaged, when do they get married? The real heavy duty Hasidim, you know what they do? They make calculations when the kala will not be a nida. Okay, they do. They only announce the wedding very close, the date of the wedding, very close to when the wedding will actually be because of this issue. Most of the people today, first of all, they take pills and they do different things. A lot of things go on, and in general, who cares? Whatever it is. If the kala isn't needed, the kala isn't either. So the world goes on. It's not an issue. A date is selected for the wedding by many, most, as far as I know, by many people in most of Judaism, most religious Orthodox Jews. However, by Hasidim, in addition to the issue of Nida, many of them have this hakpada not to get married past day 15 in the Jewish month. They will only get married up to day 15. Some are even more mocked, but they'll only get married in the first 7 days.
Why?
Or some will be more make, well, they'll get them from there 20, 22 until the first 20, but not the last seven, at least not the last 7 days. Many madregas. L'chatchila Rosh Chodesh. That's the best. If you can't get a hall for Rosh Chodesh, the next best thing is the first 7 days. If you can't get the first 7 days, not later than the middle of the month, when the moon is the moon.
Why?
Yeah, Kitoiv, to get married, Rosh Chodesh that falls out on a Tuesday, where it says Kitoiv twice. And if you can't do that, okay, bidi evid, you get married in, as long as it's not the last week of the month, the last 7 days of the month. Now, I can say, what? Litvaks never heard of this. They never heard of such a thing. You get married. You tell me you're going to limit the day you can get married. It has to be on a Rosh Chodesh. It's a Tuesday, and you're going to make cheshbonos with a nida. I mean, we never heard of these things. The Litvaks never heard of these things. But there are people, or at least it used to be, not in today's, not necessarily today. Even my Hasidim today, they're very, very lenient because they just can't get a hall. There's not, you know, they're limited number of places where you can get married. So this whole thing, and also no one today can sit there, such a madrega, it's such a high madrega that these things really make a difference. If you're a very holy, holy person and you really understand and you are machmir and all the other halachas in Shulchan Aruch, you never miss davening mincha with a minion and you say every single word in davening and you're such a holy person, okay, you know, we have a lot to work on before we work on these type of esoteric things. But let's make believe now for the moment we're going to put ourselves in the world of very esoteric things. And people would ordinarily, a person would not get married in a regular month, past the 15th day of the month. What about Chodesh Elul? So what I've read, it seems that by these groups of people, if they even still exist today, Chodesh Elul, they're extremely lenient. Because being that Chodesh Elul is the month that is in the vicinity, it's accepting the glow of the Yemei Hadin, Chodesh Elul is a very holy month because it's the hachana for the Yom Hadin. There's no limits. Person can get married at the end of the month without any issue whatsoever. And in fact, I saw...
Also Chodesh Adar.
Right, Adar, correct. Chodesh Adar also, because Adar is also the month right before Nisan. They're called the Yarech Kala. These two months, Chodesh Adar and Chodesh Elul are called the Yarchei Kala, the months of the Kala. Now it simply means that they would go to yeshiva. The people would take off from work, and they would devote themselves to study Torah in Chodesh Adar and Chodesh Elul in preparation for the holiest time of the year. And the Kala in that context means the Torah. The Torah is called the Kala, but in another context, it means that Pshuta kemashmo, och chosan v'chala. These are days that are miyuchid for chosan chala, and there's no limitation, there's no Kabbalistic issue.
So
you have a time limit. If you're not going to be able to get married now, if not now, then never. you're going to be delayed. It's correct.
And
also, there's people, they don't get in, there's no Yom Tov, so it's a month where there is no limitation because of Kedusha. Now here's the interesting thing. I even saw something we've written up where they went to the Rebbe. This is an old story, and they asked him, should we get married? So he says, it's a maila, because the whole experience of marriage, of all the beautiful things that come along with it, hopefully there's no tension, puts you in a very good frame of mind for the Yemei Hadin. A person coming out of making a simcha has been uplifted. He has been elevated, and when he comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, his davening will be on a different level. A person that's frustrated, you know, you have all the daigas, this, and you're worried, and you come to the Yemei Hadin, your mind is not there. A person that comes out of a simcha, and especially if those people that really appreciate that a chasen kal is a dogma between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, it creates in your mind a whole new world that can be a tool to elevate yourself to reach higher levels during the Yemei Hadin. And two interesting things. One of the days that is the end of the month of Elul is Yud Zayin Elul. What happened in Yud Zayin Elul? There's a thing that happened in ancient times, and there's something which happened recently. In ancient times, it's in Megillas Tainis, is the day when the Gzeira of the Yavanim, to be that the Hegmoin is to be boil every woman that got married was cancelled. One of the worst gezeros of Shmat in the time of the Chanukah era, it was a 50-year period of time leading up to the miraculous salvation of the Chashmonoim overcoming the Yavanim, was there were many gezeros, Shabbos, Mila, and Chodesh. There was a gezera that every kala before she goes to the chuppah must live with the hegemon, with the governor, whoever the governor was, he has to live with the governor in order to defile her sanctity before she goes l'chopa. And Jewish girls did this. They had no choice. Okay, that's what it says. They did this. It was a horrible, horrible gzera. It was even worse. Achashverosh, you weren't allowed to marry anyone else. You live with Achashverosh, and it was probably even worse by Achashverosh. I don't know what to do. And this was the law. And this, in fact, was what started the war of the Chashmonaim. Is when the sister of the five brothers, the Chashmonaim, there were five brothers, and their sister got married, and there are many versions of the story. She was engaged, and there were many versions of the story of exactly what happened. It's a little bit graphic, some of the versions of what happened, of what she did and what happened, and whatever the version that appeals to you. She shocked them into action by doing some very strange things. And there are different versions. Some will tell you that version is not true, whatever. It just doesn't make a difference. Everyone agrees. Everyone is on the same page that this gezerah was the stimulus, was the tipping point, which the last straw that broke the camel's back, which caused the brothers, all of the Chashmonaim, to engage in war, to declare and make a declaration of war, so to speak, and fight, which ultimately led to the Chanukah miracle with plenty of tragedy, casualties as well. Not to ignore, they all died. All the brothers eventually died in the war at some point in time. It's very, very tragic. But in any event, when was that Gezerah cancelled? So you would say, we don't know. How could anyone possibly know this? Well, we have a Megillas Tainis. And in Megillas Tainis, everyone in Megillas Tainis, they even made a sefer out of it. And with footnotes, critical edition of Megillas Tainis, it says, on Yud Zayin Elul, the Gezerah that called Besula, who marries, has to be Nivala Lehegmoin, was cancelled. And thus it is a Yom Tov. And it is also B'Tainis, also B'Hespid. Now, today, Megillas Tainis itself has been cancelled. So all of the days... Who canceled Megillas Tainis? Chazal canceled Megillas Tainis. The observance. The Gzeira?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who canceled it. I don't know if the Greeks canceled it, if we canceled it. But this is what it says in Megillas Tainis: that this edict this horrible gezera was canceled. It came to an end on the day of the 17th day of Elul. And thus, in Megillas Tainis, the 17th day of Elul is a day of celebration. A celebration where you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to eulogize a niftar. There are restrictions. You have to only be in a state of joy. Now today you never heard of this because the whole list of days, the Megillas Tainis itself, is no longer observed anymore for various reasons. But this is what it says. So it's a day that's of special significance. Wait a second. Now, if that's the case, therefore this is what isn't said, it's a day of celebration, specifically a day of celebrating of marriage. And this day, the impediment, the defilement of marriage came to an end. So this should certainly be a day that is a good mazel to get married. Marriage, the institution of marriage, was severely damaged and defiled with this gezeira. And this gezeira came to an end on this day. So there could not be a better day for a person to get married, because this is the day when the sanctity of marriage has been restored to its former glory. What do you mean? What do you mean it's been restored? It's the 17th day of the month. You're not allowed to get married past, it's not a good mazel to get married past the 15th day of the month because the moon is diminishing. Obviously, this is an exception. The fact that this day was a Yom Tov for the re-sanctification of the institution of marriage, it's a revelation that the Chodesh Elul, this idea that not a person should not get married at the end of the month, is not true for this month, is not accepted, is an exception. And the same way it's true for day 17, it's true for the rest of the month as well. Okay, that is
With Babich, in the early years, they were very marked on the
end of the month,
And then they had a lot of people, they went to the
impossible. It's impossible.
This is a minic that you can be
Mavali. Because
his parents, the Balatanya's parents, got married on Yud Zayin.
Oh, got in Yud Zayin. Now there's another event that happened on Yud Zayin, and it's in the story with the Baba Rabbi, the Rabbi Naftali, after Rabbi Shlomo.
Right.
People go to his kev, they really hold from Rabbi Naftali. They say Meifsim. You go to his kev, people come back and will tell you they experienced a very holy experience. Rabbi Ben Zion's son, Rabbi Naftali, who was nifted not all that long ago, and they asked him, could we get married on Yud Zayin?
Rabbi Shlomo's son.
Yeah. Rabbi Shlomo. When Ben Zion was the father, that was the father of Shlomo. So Rabbi Shlomo, and then Rabbi Naftali. They called him Naftulchik.
Tulchik.
Right. And they go to this kever. People flock to his kever.
It's a lag baimer.
So they asked him. This is the story that it says in the Avnei Yisrael. They asked him, "Can we get married in Yud Zayin Elul?" So he said, "You know what Yud Zayin Elul is, don't you know?" That's the day when World War II broke out. Okay, they always tell you in the Tisha B'Av programs that Tisha B'Av is the day when World War I broke out. But they don't tell you about World War II. World War II broke out on Yud Zayin Elul. So Rav Naftali said, getting married on Yud Zayin Elul is the greatest nekama you can have against the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. They try to wipe out Klal Yisrael. And here we are on this day, and the World War II was obviously not just World War II, it was the Churban of Klal Yisrael. And this day to get married, to be Kedusha V'Tahara, and to be Marbe, to the Mikhaim, the Mitzvah of Pri Urevi and Klal Yisrael, there's no better day in the calendar than to get married other than Yud Zayin Elul. Okay.
Yud Zayin Elul.
So this is an incredible insight that these two events happen in world history. Megillas Tainis, the gezeira of Kol Besulish Hanises Nivala Lehegmoin, happened on Yud Zayin. It's in Megillas Tainis. Can't make that up. And World War II broke out on Yud Zayin Elul. Both. And therefore, you heard Rav Naftali said, and what it says in the Megillas Tainis, and therefore Elul is not an issue. There's no issue that's court past the end of the month, and the other reason that we have explained, and therefore by Hasidim is not an issue whatsoever to get married during Chodesh Elul. The Litvaks, the Kalta Litvaks, they frown upon getting married in Chodesh Elul. In fact, in some yeshivas, they actually have a rule, a mandate. No one is allowed to get married in Chodesh Elul, but it has nothing to do with this, that has to do with Bittul. What? I'll tell you that story. We'll tell that story in one moment. But in many yeshivas, I don't know today what everyone is different. But it used to be years ago, probably before the war, there was a mandate: no one dare get married in Chodesh Elul. Bittul Torah. Chodesh Elul is a zman to learn Musar, to daven. You go get a wedding. You go to a wedding. You come home the next. Come home. You miss davening the next day. This. Every all the friends. They simcha. They get a little carried away. We all know what happens by weddings, by young boys. They get a little carried away. And the day before the wedding, the after the wedding, the sheva brachas. It's a slippery slope. One thing leads to another, and in institutions that they're trying very hard to get the bachrim to learn and absorb the Yirah Shamayim in preparation for the Yom Noroim, and if it's not an emergency to get married now, no, you can get married either before or after. It's not accepted. I told you the story with Rav Rudeman. Rav Rudeman, Zechet, Sargel of Racha, someone told me, someone who knew him very well, Rav Rudeman, he told me that he used to come to the shiur over here. He didn't come, he used to come once in a while, Rabbi Garden House. So he told me the story, he was sitting there in the house, Rav Rudeman, and a bacha came in and said to Rav Rudeman, I get a mazel to become a chassan, can the Rebbe to Rashi be my mesader kiddushin? So he says, when do you want to get married? He told him, I'm getting married on this day in Elul. So Rav Rudeman said to him, very, very, very stern, he said to him, we don't get married in Elul, I'm sorry. In the yeshiva, we don't get married in Chodesh Elul. I'm sorry, that's not what's going on here. You have to change the date. So he was sitting at the table with his Rebbetzin. His Rebbetzin, she smoked. And she said, she was very, very like, she said to him, Rabbi Rudeman, please tell me, when did you get married? So he says to the boy, okay, you can get married. I'll be your Mesader Kiddushin. So the Rebbetzin saved the day for the Bachar, and he got married during Chodesh Elul. So today we live in a different type of world. Today, obviously, we live in a different type of world, and weddings happen. It's very hard to get a hall. It's not so easy to get a hall. It's very hard to get a hall in general, and especially the hall that you want, that you could afford, everyone has different situation of relatives, this and that, chaska they live, and everyone is limited, and today, obviously, this is not an issue. Today, no one is really thinking about these things. I don't see it. I don't know. I'm not out there, but people get married all the time, anytime.
Anytime,
whenever is necessary. Okay, let's go to another topic. Let's go to the topic of teshuva. Okay, Elul is a zman of teshuva. What is teshuva? What are the parts of teshuva? It's a very complicated mitzvah. It says there are many psukim in the Torah that talk about doing teshuva, and the Rambam discusses it, and all the Rishonim discuss it, and there's a lot of machlokes as to what exactly are the basic elements of doing teshuva. So there are, we'll call it 4/5/6. I know that's a very funny code, 4, 5, 6 parts, maybe we'll work it through, of what is essential to doing teshuva. Everyone agrees the first part of doing teshuva is what's called aziva sachit, to stop doing what you're doing. If a person is eating non-kosher, so stop. If every day on the way home from work, you stop off by the drive-in of Burger King, okay, you pass by the burger or a McDonald's, you pass by and take out, you got to stop it, you got to cut it out. It's not kosher. Aziva sachet. Okay, that's elementary. No one's going to disagree. Number two, charata. Charata. I have remorse. That is number two. Aziva sachet charata. Vidui. That's also very basic, that's an elementary, everyone says you have to confess. It's not just enough to stop eating non-kosher. We're just giving that as an example. And of course, this applies to every single Avera in the book, from the most Kal to the most Chomor. There has to be, stop doing the Avera. You have to have regret. It's very, very critical. Regret that you've done the Avera. And it's not just enough to keep it in your heart. It has to be expressed. B'dibur. That is a demand that every one of the Rishonim require. Just say, all right, I'm afcharata, I'm not going to do it anymore. Some people, the most they can do is they just stop doing it. Okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go to McDonald's anymore. That's not enough. You have to have regret. It could be very hard. When a person does an Avera, and you look back, you can rationalize. This is human nature. This is the human nature. You rationalize. You know, I had to do it. I had to do it for whatever reason I had to do it. I don't have regret. I did it because I needed to do the Avera. It's hard to accept upon yourself that I made a mistake. I should not have done it. It's maybe even the hardest part of the whole thing. And then, it's not so hard. You just don't have to say with your mouth. Bepeh. You have to articulate with words. Ashamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, Hevinu, Vihirshanu, Zanu, Chamasnu. You go through the whole alphabet and you go through all of the different Alchet, Shechotanu Fonecha, Ba'azas Ponem, Alchet, Shechotanu Behir Halev. Okay, Chazal, that's easy for us because Chazal gave us the text. They gave us the Slichos. And after you finish the Slichos, you have a Vidui. And in the Vidui, you got it. Every single Avera you could possibly have done somewhere is included in the Nusach HaTefillah. Okay, so you don't have to actually think exactly and actually say exactly what you did. Figure out where it is. Whatever a person did, you can find it somewhere in the Nusach, and when you say that part of the Nusach, you think, okay, it's referring to that. If you want to go the next step and you want to actually say the Avera, okay, that's very good. No one's going to stop you. That's fine. So far, we have discussed the three elements that no one disagrees with. There's less man the polik. Stop doing the Avera, Aziva Sachet, Charata, and Vidu. Now comes the fireworks. It's four and five. And that is Kabbalah al Heosid. I remember we spent a lot of time on this. We gave a shiur on this a while ago, maybe 2-3 years ago on this. It was really fascinating to me. And that is according to the Rambam, according to most Rishonim, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of Teshuvah. It's like zero, unless you make a declaration, al ha'osid, I will never do it again. Yimamash na yoytze. And the shocking problem with this is, in our Nusach HaTfilah, nowhere do we have a Kabbalah al ha'osid. Nowhere. Go through the whole Nusach HaTfilah, we discussed, I remember all the details, some will try to be medayik, it really does say it over here, there. You're going to try to find an allusion to it. But it doesn't really say it explicitly. And that leaves many, many of the great minds just their jaw dropped. Does that mean to say that we're not yoytze the mitzvah of doing teshuvah by davening? All the nusach atil, the whole aseres you made teshuvah, sliches, rashana, yom kippur. Nowhere in the davening does it say, Hashem, I will never do this again.
Is that a
shuvah?
Is that a promise?
Pretty much, I mean, yes or no.
But it's impossible.
Oh, so that's the answer. So the answer is because since we know it's impossible, since 99.9% of the Jews are going to be back next year, Rosh Hashanah, Habolein L'Toiva, saying they did the same Averis again. So you know it's going to happen again. You just hope it won't happen as bad. It shouldn't be with the same intensity, the same frequency, the same degree. It should be done with guilt. When you do the Avera the next time, you should have a little more guilt, it should seep into your consciousness, what am I doing over here? But let's be realistic. We're human beings. It's going to happen again. Just halavai, it shouldn't happen to the same degree. But wait a minute, according to the Rambam, and according to many of the Rishonim, yimamish not yoytze, the mitzvah, you don't get credit. It's like taking a lulav without an esrog. Is anyone going to tell you that you yoytze the mitzvah of dalad min if you don't have an esrog? Can you make a bracha? Can you make a bracha asher kedushan b'mitzvayis v'sivanu al netilas luluf if you don't have an esrog? If you don't have hadasim and aravos? Is anyone going to tell you yoytze? You're not yoytze. You're not yoytze. It's a bracha levat Allah. So if you're not planning to say, Hashem, I accept upon myself, I will never ever do this aveira again. According to the Rambam, you're not yoytze. You could have the greatest regret, the greatest, most articulate, eloquent vidui. You have your own nusach of vidui that is second to none in its eloquence of what you want to regret. And you have remorse. You're up the whole night crying demoshlish, bitter tears over what you've done. But you never ever commit yourself to Hashem by saying the words, I will never do this again. Okay? You're not yoytze. You're not yoytze, according to at least most some Rishonim. For whatever reason, in the nusach tefillah, we don't anywhere say a commitment in the future, we'll never do it again. Good question, right? I don't have an answer. No one seems to have a really good answer. There are different solutions, so obviously we're not so machmir on this. We obviously follow a minority opinion that holds you yoytze the mitzvah d'oraisa of doing teshuvah even though you don't accept upon yourself a commitment that you're not going to do it in the future. So that's why I call it /4. What is /5? And this is another big hot topic. Does a person need to suffer? To suffer yisurim in order to achieve teshuvah? In other words, in ancient times, you read some of these things, the Rokeach, or Machol, it's a very big fan of the Rokeach. The Rokeach's name is thrown around like a hot potato in this issue. And Rokeach talks about when you do teshuvah, it's not enough just to have regret and to confess and to stop doing the Avera and to commit yourself. You have to suffer. So how do you suffer? So he gives a recipe. You know, every Avera has a different recipe. Some people in ancient times, you know what they did? You were not going to believe these things. They would take off all their clothing and they would go to a beehive and sit down and let the bees bite them, sting them. They would put themselves in a situation of yisurim. Other people, they would go out in the freezing winter, take off all their clothing and roll in the snow. Roll in the snow. Or they would go into a mikveh in freezing ice cold water, and the doctor says, you go into ice cold water, you're taking your life in your hands. People do the most bizarre, crazy things. They would be makabal, but they would go among mosquitoes, and they would makabal upon, they're not going to scratch their body. Let the mosquitoes bite them away. What?
A Christian idea.
Very good. You're saying good. Is this a Christian idea? You're saying something very important. You're reminding me now of another brilliant golden nugget that Rabbi Chol was mezakeh by Rabbi Nirei Grunblatt Sefer. I really love what he said about Krishna. He says in the line there, I don't think it's his line, but he quoted it. It's amazing. It says, the difference between Judaism and Christianity is Judaism, they say, we sin. Us today, just like Adam Harishon sinned. Adam Harishon did an Avera. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He sinned. And when we sin, it's just like when Adam sinned. Christians, they say, man sins today because Adam Harishon sinned. It's a very deep line. That Christians, they believe you're doomed. Adam already put mankind in Gehenna.
I think they believe that you're born deserving hell.
Right. Exactly. It's all part of the same theme. It's predestined. Everything already is done. The original sin already finished us all off. Adam sinned, so you have to sin. Because you're a descendant of man. So therefore, he destroyed you already. Judaism doesn't believe in that. Adam sinned. No, we also sin. We're weak, but not because Adam sinned. It's because you choose to sin. You have a predisposition that you talk and may sin because Adam sinned, but you're not sinning because Adam sinned. If you sin, it's just like Adam sinned, you also sin. It's a very fine point, but it speaks volumes. But you're right, you're saying a very good point. This idea of bringing upon yourself Yisurim is a Christian, it is very much, Christianity loves this. So what does Judaism say about this? What does Judaism say about this? So this is a big, big topic, and the vast majority of Rishonim say an incredible thing. It's a very important, I never appreciated this, the important is so. This is most. There are Rishonim, there are no question, I can't tell you all the names because I have too many things to remember, I have a very weak mind, but there are Rishonim that really seem to indicate part of Teshuva is number five. It's not enough to stop doing the Avera, regret the Avera, confess, commit, never do it again. You have to suffer.
Does Rabbeinu Yonah talk about
that? I don't know. You got to suffer. And how do you suffer? Don't wait for Hashem to bring the suffering upon you. Bring it upon yourself. What do? Well, you go look in the Rokech. I'll give you all these bizarre things to do. But the basic thing to do is, before you do the bizarre things, is fast. Be mekabel upon yourself not to eat. Fast. Okay, we do this. Okay, Yom Kippur is the ultimate. But Chodesh Elul, there was a minute, people, you have to fast 10 days. Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, you have to fast. You have to fast, and you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, and you can't fast on Shabbat Shuvah, you can't fast, and so you have to make up those days. So you make up those days, I don't know, there's different calculations. You have to bring upon yourself suffering in order to achieve number five. There are five elements to Teshuvah. Unless you have all five, you're wasting your time. Stop doing the Avera. Regret what you've done. Confess. Accept upon yourself in the future, you'll never do it again. And you have to suffer in order to atone for your... It sounds like a Christian idea. It does, but who says it's wrong? Who says it's not true? And there are Rishonim that say justice. However, we don't accept that. This is not halacha. The vast majority, it is not accepted that it's part of teshuva. You don't have to suffer. I don't know. It's a different kind of... I'm not a fool. I hear that. The vidu. I'm not sure. But we don't accept this. Now, just because we don't accept it doesn't mean... No. In other words, what do we accept? Here's how it is explained. It's a very frightening concept. There is such a thing as Yisurim. There is no doubt about it. Chazal used it. Chazal declared fast days. They did declare we have Taniyos, the whole Shulchan Aruch of fasting. The Rokeach is not making things up when he tells you to go roll in the snow. Okay, however, this is an extremely important point. The Yisurim have nothing to do, zero to do with the mitzvah of teshuva. There is a mitzvah of doing teshuva. Halacha lemaisa, we pass, and you just need three. You only need three. Stop doing the avera. Think about what you've done and regret. It's hard to do that. And confess. That's it. That's all you need. By doing these three things, even if you don't accept in the future what's going to be, you have fulfilled a mitzvah in the Torah. This is what the Torah wants from you. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach.
Does this cancel out the Avera?
Does it cancel the Avera? That's the point. Yes and no. You have done it teshuva. So you in essence, you cancel the Avera. You do. To a degree. There is still such a thing in this world. You did an Avera, and there are consequences. There is punishment. And no one knows how this works. No one understands. We don't know if Hashem will cancel the punishment. The principle that does exist in Shulchan Aruch and throughout Chazal of Yisurim, which the most basic element of Yisurim is fast days. We have fast days all the time. Is the fast, the Yisurim cancels punishment. if a person is supposed to suffer and he fasts and he feels uncomfortable, you know, I'm really hungry, I have a headache, I can use a cup of coffee, and he feels and he suffers, that suffering has just canceled an enormous amount of punishment that would have come upon the person. But it's very, very important, it's critical to appreciate that that element of suffering has nothing, lahalacha, to do with the mitzvah of teshuvah. There's a mitzvah in Chodesh Elul in the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah to do teshuvah, v'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha. That mitzvah is independent of the cancellation of suffering. A person did an Avera, you have to take care of the Avera. The way you take care of the Avera is charata, stopped aziva sachet, charata and vidui. You're done. You've done a very great, great mitzvah, and the reward for that mitzvah is beyond our understanding. And for all you know, you may have just canceled all of the suffering as well. We don't know how that works. That's not. There is a completely different thing in this world where, for whatever reason it is, and we have no understanding how this works, Hashem causes people to suffer. It happens. Look around. People suffer all the time. Wherever you go, people, you see people suffering in many ways, all different ways. And it's disheartening, and it's very, very sad. There is such a thing in Judaism that when a person brings upon himself suffering in a halachically prescribed way, not crazy meshugasim, in a halachically prescribed way, because today the Gedolei Yisrael, they tell you to run away. Run far, far away from bringing upon yourself suffering. There's no one today that's going to tell you to go roll in the snow. I'm sorry. I don't think there's any rabbi that have any legitimacy to go tell you, take off your clothing and roll in the snow. You don't hear that today. No one's going to go tell you today to go sit in the beehive and get stung. You know, this is ridiculous today. Today, there's a different mahalich. Today is a fast day, so fast. V'zehu. Today there's another technique that Chazal said that can remove suffering, and that is to learn Torah. Devote yourself to study Torah. The toil you have in pushing yourself to learn another Daf Gemara, it's not easy to come to a shir. It's be very boring. Okay? Not every sug you learn is so enjoyable. You learn a Daf Gemara. You know, this is not really what I'm interested in. So no, you have to, Chazal says you have to only learn what you enjoy learning. Musar, fine, in a chanami. The prescription today to deal with, if it's decreed upon a person that he should suffer, which we don't deal with, this is something which is not, we don't talk about this. The way to get rid of that, the person did an Avera. You did an Avera. Okay, I did teshuva, but you still did the Avera. If I had a non-kosher steak, it was delicious. It was delicious. You know, there are consequences for that. Hashem told you, don't do that. I enjoyed myself. There are consequences for that. Today, no one's going to tell you about the concept. Today, always, you did an Avera, you have an obligation to do teshuva. All you need to do for teshuva is three things in our day and age. That's the halacha. Don't do it again. Don't stop eating non-kosher steak. Regret what you did and confess on Yom Kippur that you've done this Avera. We don't even tell you to commit yourself never to do it again. We're not even going that far. You have to do that. That's critical in order because of what has happened. Did you have a good, delicious steak and have pleasure? Does that mean that you're going to have to suffer some time in your life for this? No one knows. Stay far away from that. You definitely do not need to go bring suffering upon yourself to be mekayim the mitzvah of teshuva. We don't pass it like that. Is there such a thing? No one knows how these things work. You're worried? So you know what? When there's a fast day, fast. Do what you're supposed to do. There's a tainus Esther, so fast. If you're a healthy person who could fast, so you fast. Is it uncomfortable? It sure is uncomfortable. There are many reasons why we fast. There are many things that you accomplish on even one of the dimensions of fasting is in case chas v'shalom, a person, it was decreed that he should suffer, this suffering that he feels uncomfortable because he's fasting, that can knock out 1,000 hours of much worse suffering. If a person is learning and he's very tired and it's only 10 more minutes until his, you know, his time is up, so instead of quitting 10 minutes early, Sanu, struggle for another 10 minutes. For another 10 minutes, push yourself for 10 minutes. Is it painful? Yeah, it is painful. No, another 10 minutes. That could atone, you can't even imagine, for weeks and weeks of being in the hospital. Listen, I'm saying these are crazy things. No one knows how it works. This is what they say. Learn. Don't go and take off your clothing and go to a beehive. Don't be a meshuggah. Don't go roll in the snow and go into a cold mikvah. You don't do that today. Today you do that, they'll lock you up in a mental institution doing crazy things. This is not our mahalach today. If you're worried about these things, which everyone should be worried about, so just do what you're supposed to do. What you need, what you're supposed to do, we all know, is not easy. It's not so easy. It's very uncomfortable. You go, a lot of things. View that as the suffering. And in fact, that type of suffering can, Chazal seem to say, can cancel who knows what. They say, if you put your hand in your pocket and you want to take out a quarter and you take out, by mistake, a nickel, oh, I took out the wrong coin, I got to stick my hand back into my pocket to get out the quarter, that's also called suffering. And the person accepts upon himself, no. And you take it, and you take it in stride, you may have just saved yourself agmas nefesh of losing money in a bad transaction. Can you say such a thing? You can't really say such a thing because no one knows how Hashem runs his world, and it's none of our business anyway. But this is what it says. This is anyway what it says in the Chazal. Anyway, you're gonna have to put your hand into your pocket to take out. So you might as well don't say nittle peh. No. So you put your hand in your pocket. You took out the wrong bill. Take it in stride. You'll take it in stride. Chazal say that's musr. That's musr. You come to the train station. Oh, I missed the train. I missed by 1 second. I used to go on the train a lot. It happened every day. Always missed the train. You drive. I don't know about you, but it seems like the red lights have it out for me. When I have to go somewhere, I don't know. It seems like I feel like there's someone sitting in the CIA controlling all the red lights and is watching me on the GPS and every single red light I have to get. That's how I feel when I drive half the time. I don't know about you. So anyway, I'm stuck in traffic. So should I go and vent and get nasty or use this as an opportunity to take it in stride? To accept, and this is a joke, this is called Yisurim, this is a joke, halavai, halavai, this should be the Yisurim in life, halavai, halavai, instead of what goes on out in the world when you see these horrible things, that's what they say. So the bottom line over here, we're out of time, is the mitzvah de'oraisa of teshuva. Teshuva has 3/4/5 parts. The basic elements of teshuva that no one's going to ignore is stop, cut out the nonsense. Aziva sachit. Number 2, charata, regret. That's very hard. Number 3, articulation, vidui. Everyone agrees to that. Number 4 is controversial. Does a person have to make a statement, I will never do this again? We paskin, you don't. That's why we get away with it. In our nusach atzilu, we don't say it. But there is such a principle. Number 5, do I have to also suffer? Do I have to accept upon myself to fast 40 days? 3 days, 1 day, go to a rabbi and he'll make for me a prescription of what I should do for doing the Avera. I remember once reading a story, I was very disturbed by the story. A person was Erev Shabbos, and he got a little bit worked up, and he was on the computer, and all of a sudden he turned around and he realized it was already Peshkia. It was a significant amount of time Peshkia. And he was working on the computer. And he couldn't believe it. He was Mechal Shabbos. I don't know Peshkia, it doesn't mean he was Mechal Shabbos, but it was past his man. And like, he couldn't believe it. Like I was working, I got caught up in what I was doing, and he was very, very disturbed. So he writes, he went to the rabbi, and he told the rabbi what he did, what happened, and he's very disturbed. And he writes how the rabbi, he wrote for him a prescription of going forward, what he should do to be mechape for this aveir. The rabbi was obviously going to the fifth level. You have charata, don't ever do it again, and say vidui, and the kabbalah lasid, and this is the prescription of punishment, of what you have to accept upon yourself going forward. Who told the rabbi to do this? I was like very disturbed. What are you telling him to be kabbalah upon him and do these things? You know, these are stories you read about. You read about 500 years ago. The Poskim don't say that. It's very clear from what I've learned in Avnei Sham, there's no such thing. You don't need to do teshuva for an avera to accept upon yourself itself yisurin. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. You wanna go and have a tainus? It's not related to the avera. You did the avera. Teshuva is just three things. A person wants to. Fasting, we fast because Chazal, there are many reasons why we fast. It happens to be that when you're already fasting, because you anyway have to fast, for whatever the reasons are, and you're uncomfortable, that Yisurim that I've come has come upon me, that should be the kapara. But to go put yourself in a position to bring upon yourself Yisurim, this is not a prescription for our generation. And the only thing that you should do to prescribe upon yourself to be mechaper is to learn Torah. That's the only thing that they say. To learn Torah and to learn Musar, that's it. Nothing more. And everything else that you suffer, take it in stride. But not to bring, it's not a chelek of the teshuva. 3/4/5. Okay, we'll stop here.
Told you once that my friend said on the tape that Bocha came to Rabbi Rudeman during, when told him that